Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, in case you are wondering how cool I was as a teenager and as a college student, let me give you a little insight into that. When I was graduating from high school, I asked and then received for a high school graduation gift a Palm Pilot. For those of you that are unsure what that archaic device is, that's one of those personal digital assistants, kind of like a BlackBerry, right? And so I asked for one of these things as a high school graduation gift, and my parents obliged. I mean, how awesome was I, and how generous were they, but how awesome was I? And just for those of you that are like, wow, that was expensive. That was like I got the first like consumer grade one, okay? So generous, but not like thousands of dollars or whatever. And you would think that 4 years of college, yeah, you know where this one's going. You think that 4 years of college would have helped me, like, raise my cool quotient just a tad? You know what I asked for and got as a high school or college graduation gift? A new Palm Pilot. I was destined to be a Presbyterian, I know. Now, you know what I got as a seminary graduation gift? Because my parents were thoughtful in that. I got a Nintendo Wii this time. I upgraded, okay, all right? I was headed off to be a youth pastor, and I thought, you know, I had a Palm Pilot that was still functioning, but what does every youth pastor need? A Nintendo, you know? So I got one of those graciously. Maybe that was a little better. Now, in addition to now knowing how cool I actually wasn't in high school and in some of my college moments, but you know something else about me, which some of you already knew, which is I like to keep a good calendar as best I can. And I know this is true for many of you who are here today as well. You like to keep a good calendar. Sometimes I'm in a meeting with you, and some of you will pull out a phone that has your calendar on it. Some of you will pull out a day timer or a Franklin planner or whatever it might be. I love using a paper calendar, too. I think there's something valuable about writing things down that helps us remember what we got going on, right? Now, using these devices and tools to keep track of our lives is really important because we've got a lot going on, right? You've got meetings, you've got appointments, you've got doctor's appointments, you've got visits with your family, you've got people coming into town, you've got rummage sales to put on your calendar for April 4th, 2020. All these things we want to keep in mind as we are filling out our calendars. And we have these appointments, right, that we got to keep. When I was in college, it was things like my class schedule. It was things like my volunteer ministry commitment that I was a part of. There was things like remembering to go home for the holidays, you know, things that you just don't want to forget. But now, of course, that's more than just a calendar for us. It's an indicator of what's going on in our lives. It's an indicator that we can look back on and see how we're spending our lives, how we're spending our time. Because our life sometimes is measured, right, by clocks and calendars, and they help us to know what we're doing. But not all of our lives shows up on these clocks and on these calendars, do they? Not everything that happens has something that goes on the calendar ahead of time. Sometimes we have these appointments that come about in our lives that we don't see coming. Sometimes we have these moments that come to us, and we're like, how can I make the most of this opportunity that is before me? And one of these things happens to us. We can see things coming on our calendar, like meetings and you know, that come on our calendar, but we can't always see the spiritual appointments coming, can we? We can't always know when something spiritual is going to happen in our lives that God wants us to respond to. Now, I want to make a little bit of an artificial distinction between, you know, some of the day-to-day things that we do and the spiritual things, but the reality is there is a lot of spiritual value and vitality in all of our day-to-day opportunities. But at times, there are moments that do come to us as feeling maybe more spiritual than perhaps a prior moment was. These might be moments where we feel nudged by God to do something. These might be moments where a spiritual conversation presents itself. And we have to be ready and understand what to do in those spiritual moments as well. Because when we think about how do we invest ourselves, we want to invest ourselves also in these spiritual moments. And we want to be ready for those moments so that we can make the most of them. You know, God calls us to invest ourselves in all kinds of things. And as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, God gives us many gifts. And if you were here a week or two ago and we talked about what GIFTS stands for in our lives, we can remember with that acronym using those letters, you know, GIFTS, G-I-F-T-S, that God wants us to go, G, I, invest, our finances, F, T, our time, and S, our skills. God wants us to use our gifts to go and do God's work in the world. And God wants us to make the most of the time we have. And specifically, thinking today about those spiritual opportunities that we have before us. Now, this question of how do we make the best use of these spiritual opportunities is a question that was something that the early church indeed also was wrestling with. This is one of those times where I think we can take comfort in the fact that 2,000 years ago, followers of Jesus were having the same kind of opportunity and sometimes the same kind of struggles that we face today. Other times we read those parts of the scripture and we're going like, I just can't believe we're dealing with the same problems today. You would think 2,000 years later, people would have made some progress on themselves or on church or whatever it might be, the world. And, you know, we go in cycles. There's ups and downs. But there's a perennial issue that was being addressed in this letter to the Colossians that we heard about earlier today. And they were having this similar problem, which was they weren't ready for the spiritual appointments that were popping up in their lives. They weren't totally prepared for what they needed to have in their hearts and their minds as they encountered these spiritual moments. And so the writer of this letter to the Colossians does something to help them in this sense. The writer of the book of the letter to the Colossians prepares them better to be ready for those spiritual moments. And so what the writer does is the bulk of that letter, if you've ever read through it, you'll notice some of these things. The bulk of that letter is actually giving them information and explanation or content, sometimes we might call it doctrine, to understand who Jesus was, both in and of himself, and also what did Jesus mean in the context of the emerging spreading of that faith in the Roman Empire. Because at that time, and you know, this is where I could use a map to show you, you know, the people of Colossae, that's how you... it's not the people of Colossians, that wasn't the city, it was the city of Colossae. I don't know, fancy Bible terms today. They weren't in Israel, were they? They were in another part of the Roman Empire. And so what was happening is this Jewish faith of Jesus as the Messiah was leaving Israel and was going all throughout the Mediterranean. And when it leaves its original context of Israel and Jerusalem in particular and goes elsewhere, what do you have to do? You have to translate it and put it in terms that people will understand. Because if you're running around the Mediterranean world, which is a predominantly Roman Empire, right, or is the Roman Empire, and you are telling them about the Messiah, what they're going to hear is that you worship somebody who has oil poured all over them. And they would look at you funny, like, why would you worship somebody who has greasy hair? Like, that's what they would have heard, because Messiah, as they translated, it just meant anointed one. And so what they would have to do is they'd have to take what they knew, which is Jesus had brought salvation to all people, that Jesus had brought salvation not just to the Jews, but had brought salvation to be available for all people. That's the mystery that the writers, that Paul and other New Testament writers are talking about, that it wasn't, God's love wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for all people. You'd have to figure out, how do you say that in a way that people could understand wherever they were, specifically in the people of the Roman Empire, and languages that would have, and phrases that would have related to the Roman Empire's religion, the cultic parts of that day. And so that's what's going on in the bulk of the book of Ephesians. And I think there's some resonance with the language there that can help us, because there's unpacking of that mystery of God's great love for all people. There's framing up of Jesus as a cosmic savior, you know, this understanding of the cosmic Christ. And so he gives them this lesson in what they need to know, and then he clears his throat, gets to what we know as chapter 5, and he goes, and so here's what you're going to do with this. He said, I want you to be ready to answer the questions of the people who ask you about your faith. Now, I've just given you the cram, you know, the cheat sheet guide to the Christian faith, right? That's the first four chapters, and now he's saying to you, okay, so you've got this. And I want you to know that so that when people ask you questions about this faith, because it's really weird to them, it doesn't make sense to them, that you're going to be ready to give an account of what you know to be true about who Jesus is for you and what can be true about who Jesus is for them. And what he says to them is, I want you to make the most of the time. It's right there in verse 5. I want you to make the most of the time Another way to read that is the most of the opportunity that you have to share your faith with these people. Now, there was some trouble going on in the empire at that time, that the Christians were being accused of undermining society. They were being accused of disrupting economics because of how that connected to the temple, you know, systems. There was all kinds of things going on. And so they had it right in front and center for them when there were these opportunities to talk about the faith that they had. And so they would have known exactly when they were being tested. They would have known exactly when that opportunity was going to come about. They were lacking sometimes what to say. And also it seems like they were lacking at times how to say it, because the writer goes on to remind them, you need to do this nice. Be nice is what he says there. Don't just like dump it all on them at once. He says, be wise in how you talk about it. Have conversations that are seasoned with salt so they taste good. That both is a metaphor that I think for us works today, right? A conversation seasoned with salt. What's a conversation or a piece of food without salt? It's bland. It doesn't have the flavor that it needs. What does salt do? You don't just taste the saltiness when you put too much in like I do. You just taste the salt or like ketchup or whatever. But when you put the right amount in, what happens? It brings out the natural flavor. It brings out the goodness that's already there. And so that's the encouragement that is being given to those early followers of Jesus. This writer of the book of Colossians, the letter of Colossians, is saying to them, know your faith so that when you get tested, when you get questioned, you can give an account for what you believe. So if you can track with me on that, it sounds like a very similar situation, doesn't it? Sounds like a very similar situation that we find ourselves in today. We at times maybe struggle to know exactly what to say, and sometimes we also struggle with knowing when to say it. And so if we can put together an understanding and a blueprint of what they were talking about in that letter to work on our knowledge so that we can know what to say, we can also then put it into conversation with knowing when these appointments have come, knowing when we have an opportunity to make the most of the time that we have. So the question is, how do we do that, right? In our day and age, how do we do that in a winsome way in 2019 and beyond? It's because it's a complicated spiritual environment that we're in, right? It's not as easy as it used to be, because it used to be, or it felt like it was true, that everybody that you knew was a Christian. But not everybody we know today is a Christian, is it? Are they? It used to feel like everybody went to church, and I can speak to the crowd who's here today because you're in church. But the reality is, not everybody goes to church anymore. And if you've been away from church and are back to church, we are so grateful that you're here, because you know what it's like to not have church. Some of us don't know what it's like to not have church. You know, the last time that I didn't go to church regularly was in college. It was like 3 weeks ago. No. But college, I graduated in 2005. Since then, every week, more or less, I've been in church. I had a reason to be there, you know, give or take, but, you know, I was there, so I don't remember some ways what it was like without it. I mean, I can remember college. That sounds like, anyways, moving on. But the reality is, we got to pay attention in a new way today. And so what I want to offer to you is something that I didn't make up. This is something that I think could be helpful for us about the ways in which we can pay attention and listen for the cues when we've got a spiritual opportunity to make the most of the time we have and to potentially share our faith or invite someone to come to church with us. And these are the three knots, okay? The three N-O-T-S, the three knots. It's not like a knot we're going to tie with rope or something. It's the three knots. And these come from a pastor, his name's Andy Stanley, and he offers these up as a framework for understanding when someone is telling you that they may need Jesus, when someone is telling you that they may need church. And if you can hear these three knots, it gives you a perfect opportunity to start a conversation with them, to invite them to church. And so here they are, the three knots. The first one is, if they say to you, things are not going well, like, oh, earth-shattering, right? No, right? If someone says to you things are not going well, don't tell them how to make it go better. I make that mistake. Please don't make that mistake. But when they say that to you, it's not going well, that's a cue that you may have an invitation into their lives to tell them about your church, to tell them about your faith. If all you can muster up is, you should come to church with me, you have done a great job. If you can dive in a little deeper to what you believe, you may take them a little further. But the first one is, if they say to you things are not going well, there's your opportunity. The second one is, if they say I was not prepared for this moment or this season, if I was not prepared for this season or moment of life, that's the second one. We've been in those conversations, right, where you hear someone say, boy, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't see that coming. Boy, these kids are just driving me nuts, you know, and I wasn't prepared for that. Or like, you know, we went from 1 to 2 kids and that was okay, but going from 2 to 3, I was not ready for that. That is not an invitation to a parenting lesson. Again, my mistake, don't make that one, okay? It is an invitation to hear them about what they weren't ready for. An invitation to tell them, you know who can help you be ready the next time? My church. My Jesus. He can help you. They can help you. And you know why that's going to be true and why they might believe you and why they should believe you? Because it's true about your life, isn't it? The church has helped you be ready for the next thing. Jesus has helped you be ready for the next thing. It may not be always every next thing, but there's certainly been something in your life that God has helped you through that you weren't expecting. God has helped you. Jesus has helped you. The church has helped you. Maybe it's in retrospect. You can think of a time where you're like, I never knew I could get through that moment. But when I look back on it, you know who was there for me? My church family, my small group, in my darkest moment, they were there. And you know what, friend? I know you have dark moments. When you weren't prepared, let's be prepared the next time. So that's the third not. And the final not, this is like the easiest one of it. If they tell you they're not going to church, boom, you go, come to church. Don't wait, don't hesitate, don't collaborate, just go, boom, you're coming to church with me, okay? I'm not going to church. Well, you may want to slow roll it a little bit, okay? But think about it quickly. Don't hesitate about it, bring it to your mind. If they say, I'm not going to church, then you can say, well, come with me. Be my guest. You know, be my plus one, whatever you want to say to them. But if you hear them say, I'm not going to church, that's a telltale sign that there's a spiritual opportunity. Because sometimes the church doesn't get things right, you know, and we've got to work on that. But a lot of the times the church does get it right. And you know how we know we get it right? Because God keeps using us. That like blows my mind every morning when I get up, that God still uses people. God still uses the church. And what that means, and when somebody's not going to church, they're not getting what they need. And you can invite them into that opportunity to help them get what they need. So if they say to you, if this is like a friend or a family member, perfect opportunity. If it's a barista that you know, or a bartender, or a barber, you know, maybe check out if they like unload on everybody first before you offer these up to them. But if you hear someone saying to you, things are not going well, I was not prepared, and I'm not going to church, those three knots can be your cue to knowing that that's a spiritual appointment to pay attention to. Now, you might be hearing these things and you're like, ooh, I like that. I can work on that. Or you might be saying to yourself, wait a minute, what did he just say? Like, I got the last one, you know? Like, I'm at church, so I'm not in that group, right? But maybe you're sitting here thinking to yourself, boy, things are not going well in my life. I'm here, but that's about all I got going on. Or maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, ooh, I'm not ready for what's coming next. Maybe there's a something that's on the horizon in your family life, and you're like, I'm not ready for that. You know, maybe there's something in your work life where you're like, I'm not ready for that. Or maybe there's something that's on your doorstep of life, and you're just like, it's here, and I'm still not ready. You made the right choice to be here today. Because it's always the right choice to be at church. It's always the right choice to be with the church, to be with the people of God. Because what does God do? God uses people to help us. God uses people to make sure that the next time when we think we're not ready, we are ready. When the next time when things are not going well, God uses people to get us through there. Now, if you are thinking through those things and you're like, I need some help, come talk to me. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to visit with you to hear about how maybe we can help you. If you are hearing these nods and you're thinking to yourself, well, now I have no excuse to not be ready for the next time, process that. Pay attention to those cues to know that there's an appointment ahead of you. Because when we pay attention to those cues, the appointments keep coming. When we pay attention to how we're investing ourselves, the opportunities start to appear. It's not that they weren't there before, but it's that we know what to listen for now. And we have a first step on how to respond. You know, these are complicated times that we live in, aren't they? And there's a lot of uncertainty that goes on in our lives. But one of the things that God promises to us is that when we pay attention to how God wants us to use our time, God will honor that. It's not that God will bless us because we've been good. It's because God is already blessing us so we can be good. It's not a quid pro quo where we just do the right things and God blesses us more. Rather, it's when we live in a way that is fulfilling what God wants us to use, with the way that God wants us to use our time, then we fulfill God's purpose in our lives. We fulfill God's promises in our lives. And when we follow through on listening to the ways in which God is preparing us for those spiritual appointments, not only do we make our lives count more, but we make the life of the person that we're talking to and living with or sharing life with count more. So let us listen for those opportunities. Let us pay attention to that nudging that God gives to us. And the next time someone uses one of those nods, you know what to do.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.